Over the past 2 years, what we have been working on are ways to capture your game with your mobile phone in a way so that you can create stats and content that you're also familiar with. And then to capture stats that really matter, we took a more testing approach that also the pros use in training. So we have developed five, we call them mini games, tests that you can do, like a short run, a shot during practice or whenever you have time. And those are the ways that we capture stats that go beyond what you can capture with the physical eyes.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. It's the first episode of the year. Happy New Year to all our listeners. Wish you and your loved ones and everybody that you work in, that you work with, your family, a fantastic 2024. It's a year that we have started with good energy here at Sports Tech X. We have a lot planned for this year, all of which will be unveiled in good time. But to kick off the year, we're going to start with focusing on some of the good companies that we featured in our latest report, the Sports Tech VC report that we published at the end of last year. If you haven't downloaded that yet, please do. There is a bunch of super interesting data, especially talking about why 2024 was such an important year for sports tech. Funding was at a, not all time, but a significant low compared to previous years. But M&A activity was at an all-time high. It just showed a redistribution of investment in sports tech, the year of consolidation, we have called it, for 2024. And in that report, we had a bunch of good companies that we featured, including our first ever Sports Tech X Startup Spotlight. We had ran a little program where we invited a bunch of startups to apply, and we said we'll give them a free feature in some of our content and shine the spotlight so that our audience can get a sense of who these cool companies are, see what they're doing, and see all the innovative solutions out there. The winner of our first edition of the Sports Tech X Startup Spotlight, I should say, is our guest for this episode. A great way to kick off our podcast lineup for the year. I have from Minglesport, their CEO and co-founder, Frick. Welcome to the show, Frick.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for having me. And I'm very happy that I'm finally on the show. I've been listening it from whenever I started in sports tech, which is, I think, for 3 years now.
Well, that's a bit of a slight compliment, shall I say. The fact that you're an avid listener, I'm proud of that. Minglesport yourself, and I'm a fan of what you've been doing. We've met, I think it was a little over a year ago, we met in St. Gallen, right, at an event where you were part of a similar competition at this run by the St. Gallen University. And Minglesport, which is essentially a grassroots app for football players, for coaches, for fans. I will let you explain it to us better. So why don't you kick us off with that? First, I want to know more about you as a person, your background and how you set up the company, and then take us to the story of Minglesport.
Sure. So, my name is Frake. I'm 44 now. I'm a father, a husband, and an active Strava user.
You don't have to show off how young you are, Frake. We all get it. Like, it's fine.
Okay. Well, the thing I want to explain why it's important to be 44 is that you become a soccer dad and you're standing next to the pitch, and then you see how subpar the experience of grassroots football is from a digital perspective. And I have a background in digital consulting, started sociology, management studies, blah, 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 blah. And then I ended up as the chief strategy officer for Valtech, which is a global digital consultancy. They have over 6,000 people, flew all over the world, worked for a lot of major brands on their digital transformation. But I wanted to build something for my own when I was 40-ish. I learned a lot about digital. And as I said, I'm a very passionate Strava user because it is an app that actually makes me more active and also adds a digital layer to an offline experience. And that combination, digital can do many things, you know, many bad things. But actually, if you think about the positive impact of Strava for individual sports, that was a true source of inspiration also for me to start Mingle Sport, which is focused on, you mentioned we're currently for football, but ball sports in general is what we're aiming for. So I started the company with a few colleagues that I learned from Valtech ex-colleagues, 2021. So you're asking about Mingle Sport, why we started the company and what problem we're solving. I think let's go to a pitch at any grassroots event in the weekend for either young team or a senior team. These kids are playing FIFA at home. They're talking about player cards. They're watching professional sports, and we're talking a lot about you know, more stats and cool content. But for grassroots, still in 2024, it's very subpar. So there are hardly any stats that are tracked beyond goals and assists. And content made is it's with mobile cameras, or there might be a static camera, but who can access it? It's all the experience itself. It's more chaotic, and teams are very coaches, especially, are very focused on, you know, getting the basics in order with team management and so on. And that problem, I thought, if I look at my experience with Strava and how great of an experience that is, and how great digital technology can contribute to my experience of getting healthier and working out and, you know, a community aspect, that is the aspect that we also wanted to add with Mingle Sport. So very concrete, you know, we want to provide better stats, pro level stats, stats that really matter to teams beyond goals and assists. And we want to up their game when it comes to content, sharing and capturing matches. And there's one other problem that we address, and that is just the team logistics of it, make lives a little bit easier. Although that's not a core thing, it's just a thing that we help coaches solve so that they have more time for the things that really matter, which is get more out of their game.
Got it. So we're covering stats, and content is the primary, let's say, objective of the application. And then you also do a bit of the management, say communication, scheduling, a bit of that. Let's focus on the core then. How are you capturing stats? Yes. Is there a wearable? Is there video? How are you doing this?
Yes. So, okay. So first, we believe that computer vision AI, optical tracking, is in team sports and ball sports always the dominant tracker, will be, because it captures the full team, because it has the context, because it has the ball. Wearables are great to provide specific stats that are important to measure your distance, maybe your shot speed, but cannot get the full context. So first decision was we go for optical as the dominant way of tracking. And then obviously user-generated content, because scores, they are put in manually. There are lots of things that are put in manually. We wanted to build our own camera. Then we noticed, oh, there are great companies out there. Let's not go there. And we said, like Strava, we don't want to be the best tracker out there. We want to be good enough, but we want to be the most accessible and most affordable tracker out there. And that's why we ended up with devices that people already own, starting with their mobile camera. And over the past 2 years, what we have been working on are ways to capture your game with your mobile phone in a way so that you can create stats and content that you're also familiar with the pros. And then I think there's a need to address the very practical nature of this, because if you capture a full game with your mobile phone, that will be not interesting to watch. It's not the right vantage point. You will not get interesting stats from that. So, you know, from our research, we landed on, okay, there's a lot of short moments that people capture. They share on their Instagram, like a free kick or an interesting moment. Those moments we capture, you can share them. And then to capture stats that really matter, we took a more testing approach that also the pros use in training. So we have developed five, we call them mini games, tests that you can do, like a short run, a shot during practice or whenever you have time. And those are the ways that we capture stats that go beyond what you can capture with the physical eye. So your acceleration, your shot quality, your dribble quality, and so on.
Okay, so Let me get this right. Am I still setting up the camera in one spot to record the whole game?
Negative. No. What we said is like we want to be, you can capture a match. Start with simple scorekeeping. Right? So keeping scores, people who follow, they get updates when every goal is made. So that's the very core basic. You can create a lineup. You can create photos. We are focused on short clips. So people create short moments and they share them. And then with AI, we will be able to recognize what are most important clips, do event detection from there, stitch them together to something that is nice. But for full match coverage, I think you should rely on a camera on a higher vantage point. And like Strava, we aim to integrate with, you know, the best video providers and the best wearable providers, because we recognize that we are a good enough tracker, but we cannot solve all of the problems. But we have the social graph. So we have the team, followers, parents, and the whole context of what actually happens on the pitch. And that's also why we started with the very basics, the scorekeeping, you know, keeping track of training attendance, scheduling, all the stuff that you're, I think most people will use a tool for. But we added that as a layer to add the experience of content sharing and gathering stats.
Got it. So the core IP is in the software, right? So first of all, there is no hardware component. You're willing to integrate with whatever camera solutions that anybody might be using. Yeah. Do you have the option of using your own camera? So if I want to use my mobile phone and record a game, then I can still plug into the
At this moment, you can upload a video file through your mobile phone. Integrations is something that we are talking to camera providers, but that was not our first goal. Our first goal was to get the essentials in order. But ultimately, yes, you would be able to add any video that you want, add any live stream that you want. We will just add the context of who is playing against who has scored, and we also will provide very accurate timekeeping. So a match timer is an essential part, and that will be on our end.
Okay. So that's on some of the stats stuff. You mentioned the social graph, and I think that's super important because I think that's a key aspect of not just grassroots football, of course, football at all levels, but especially at grassroots football. You know, when a kid scores a goal or has a free kick or runs into the post and whacks their head. Like those are the moments that get a lot of virality, get a lot of shares. And those are the moments that can help amplify either a team or a player take them to, to gather more followers, which can create a lot more opportunities down the line for marketing, branding, and so on. So this is also a very important aspect that you all focus on, right? To make sure that it's very easy for a team to, as you said, upload and create clips, then y'all can identify and then push them to social platforms. Yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. So one is that, we have players, we have staff, we have parents, and then you can follow a player. We'll also make it possible to follow a team. That's also because of privacy concerns. I think we have designed something that is private at the core, and you have to approve a follow request. Also something that we learned is that, obviously people also want to share it on their own social platforms. So we made that possible to, share it on Instagram, TikTok, wherever, and we'll add a nice layer with the scoreboard, with a replay, and so on.
Makes sense. All right. And what about the business model? So who's paying for this? Are the students paying? Are the footballers paying for it? Is the team? Are the parents? Where does the revenue come from?
We shipped our first 1.0 version last September. And our goal was to get, a good traction, especially good stickiness with the teams, because we really want teams to use it for every training, every match, and be very consistent in their usage. And this quarter, we will launch our premium. So the premium subscription will be an individual subscription. And the other side of the model is a B2B brand collaboration that we will offer. So it will be a combination, because we want to have the essential version free for everybody to use. Mm-hmm. We don't want to sell out on personal information, but we do want to keep it affordable. So there's a subscription that's very affordable and competitive, and we will have brand collaborations done in a very nice way, because sports and sponsorship, I think, go hand in hand if you do it well.
Exactly. And like I was talking earlier, the social angle of the highlights is a big, big factor. Yeah. And it creates a lot of monetization opportunities down the line. Let's talk about the traction to date. And so which markets are y'all operating in? How many teams have you got on board? Walk me through the numbers a little bit.
Yeah, sure. September 22, we did a public beta in the Netherlands for football only, just to learn. We ended up with, 500 teams, 3,500 users, because we also learned it doesn't matter. That's why you have a beta. We iterated on the product. We thought it was good enough. We launched it in September internationally, North America, Latin America, basically almost all over the world. And we currently have over 100,000. I think we hit 100,000 registered users somewhere in December. That was way better than we had expected, to be honest. So that was above expectation. And that's also why we kind of accelerated our premium go-to-market as well. What you see in we're doing good in North America, Mexico, Argentina, in Europe, in Scandinavia, Netherlands, Belgium, France, Italy. Are the countries that we're picking up, but we're also learning. We are learning how to do go to market, because we said we want to have a go to market to. We should be independent of any organization, right? So we should not be B2B first. We should be really B2C first. And that's why any team can start using us. But we're also learning, like, when there's density, what can we do with clubs and how does this whole model work? So that's why we see traction in some countries, but we're still learning on how to do that better and how to scale faster.
I mean, you rattled off a number of countries there. How are people finding you in these places?
Yeah, so we translate it as well. So it's the App Store mechanism.
So literally, it's just organic search on the app. If they're looking for a football app, they find Mingle Sport.
Yeah, there is some advertising involved, but not that much. But also here, the dynamics. We need one team creator that is often the coach. And then an average team is around 18 people. So the product-led growth is like you need one guy or one girl to get to 18, right? So there's a lot of product-led growth, and we're not even talking about followers, which is a concept that we have introduced but not put as much effort on, because we first want to get the stickiness with team, but then you can double the team size even more. So yeah, that's why these numbers, I think, are what they are. And that's also why I think team management apps in general are the largest apps out there. Like, they are, in terms of volume, in terms of user adoption, the biggest. But often these tools are a little bit boring because they solve a logistical problem for the club or the coach, but not necessarily for the player who want to get more out of the game and get better content, get better stats.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Okay. Sounds like a nice little strategy, and obviously it's something that you're executing well. Those growth numbers are a testament to the success that you all have had to date. So that's a bit on the success side. What have been the biggest challenges that you've had to face?
You mentioned you're executing well. That's anything but my experience. Like, I think on hindsight, the execution looks great. But when you start, a few challenges that we have had, capturing, I mentioned the AI part. So you need to, the basics that we have rolled out hardly have any AI features in there, right? So we have tested those either in alpha or in beta in the app, but they are yet to be launched on top of the existing base that we already have with the basic scorekeeping, content creation, and what have you. And what was really hard was technically getting to a point where you'll be able to accurately measure the position, speed of a ball, to accurately measure the position of a player, the speed of a player. Because everybody can show you this nice AI thing where you have some bounding boxes and look, I recognize a player, but then do you know the position of this player on the field? Because that is crucial. So that took us a long, long time. I won't go into the technical details, but that's also why we will only launch it on iOS first, because we used camera matrix and really the intrinsics of the hardware to be able to do a 3D positioning. So that was hard. The beginning was also hard because you come up with a lot of features at the beginning that we feel we need to have because we want to be something that you use on a daily basis, which are around scheduling. I think lineup, when we introduced lineup, that was the first really exciting features and people got excited about that. But before that, it was around scheduling. And then people say, yeah, I have this. Why should I use your app? So, but we wanted to do that because otherwise you end up as a one-off point solution. And there are so many one-off point solutions today that solve a specific problem, but end up being the 10th tool that teams use, and then they lose interest, right? So, yeah, I think those are the challenges that we had.
Actually, that perfectly leads me to my next question, which was what you just said, that some of our listeners, maybe a lot of them, might be thinking of this and they haven't seen the app yet, and this they're like, you know, I've seen this before, or I've seen some version of this before.
Yeah.
So then from your perspective, what is the USP? What is the main driver? Is it what you just described, the fact that we're doing a lot of these touch points in one place?
Yeah. So to a large, you are right. So we provide a basis that people most likely would be familiar with, but they relate. Because tracking attendance and creating a lineup, they relate. You need the same players, right? But you have a lineup app and then you have an attendance app. Those are two apps. So I think people would relate to the fact that they know these apps, but they also are fed up of using all these different point solutions, right? So there is a need for integration and consolidation. And second, and this is what we're going to launch with the premium that we will do, is that we will now be able to track accurate stats that you will not be able to get anywhere else at this price point. So let me give you a few examples. First is we will introduce, I think, and this is a very basic needs, is minutes played. And I think most coaches will relate that they will track minutes played with a stopwatch and a spreadsheet, and it's a very manual process. And there might be some apps that do it, but they don't have, like they lack the integration with the attendance and the lineup and so on. So that's the first thing that we're going to create. What we also will provide is people with a proxy of distance covered, because we know your age, we know your position, we know how many minutes you played. What we will give is an indication of how many kilometers you have ran. So what you want is you want to measure your run speed, for instance, or you want to measure your real distance covered. That's when you need an integration with a wearable provider. And then next to that, we will launch a couple of mini games this quarter that are gamified tests. So in professionals, every 7 to 10 weeks, they do a number of tests. These are very, you know, sports scientific tests, a 30-meter run. They do some stamina, yo-yo, intermittent yo-yo tests, and so on. We will provide similar tests that you just capture with your mobile phone. And what we'll be able to do with those is, you know, we will provide users with sports scientific accurate data on how fast they are. So we will introduce, for instance, the 30-meter run you just captured with your mobile phone, and I knew that you are really fast run, but that's because your acceleration is really good. Your top speed needs some improvement, right? And then that is the kind of features that we will introduce. And like Strava, that is because AI, computer vision AI, is now at a breakthrough moment where it actually becomes affordable and accessible for the masses. And I think that is when people will say, oh, hell yeah, I want to use this. And yes, I want that integrated with the rest of my tool set.
Because at the end of the day, you want actionable insights, right? You want what a player can actually do to improve And for that, it needs, as you said, the multiple, not just the data point, but hey, actually the detail of this is what you need to work on. And I think that becomes the real power of a solution like this. You covered it just now a little bit, Frick, but I want to paint me the picture. What does the next 12, 18 months look like for Minglesport? What's coming up? What are you looking for? Do you have a funding round?
Yeah.
Anything that you want to talk about?
Yeah. So
let's break this up first from a product feature set perspective and then just as a company.
Yeah, sure. So from a product perspective, I think the moment everything changed was the moment when we hit the 10K users, because you get so much input from users that there's no discussion on what creates value anymore. It's just a matter of, you know, processing and doing it in the right order in a smart way. And so for the coming 6 months, so up until the end of the season for most teams, so that's June, we want to test the what are people willing to pay for. And we've come up with a smart way where you have an individual subscription and a team boost mechanism. So you as an individual, you know, there's stuff for you, but also your team benefits from that investment that you make. So that is what we want to test. What is the exact price point? What feature combination will we have? And those features are ready or almost ready to be shipped. So that's what we'll be doing in the coming 6 months, experiment with that. We'll also start our first brand collaborations. And so with the season start of 24-25, this is the moment where we can do that at scale. And when I talk scale, we're going to go more aggressive on growth, but we'll also start scaling to other sports. And we'll start probably with field hockey and sports that are adjacent to football. But we are not limited. We are, let's say, have experimented with tennis and padel. Those will be probably the last, but the more team sports, the more we will move. Mm-hmm. And then we're in early 25. Should be able to go for a Series A investment, which is a nice bridge to a company. We need to close a bridge round. Not that much, but because the traction is good, but we want to get the momentum of the season start of 24-25. Because we think we can prove more aggressive growth benefiting from that season start.
So right now you're looking to raise a bridge round with a Series A to follow sometime in Q1.
Yeah. Either a second seed or a Series A. It depends on where we are exactly and how aggressive we can grow from there.
Fair enough. You want to share any details of what you're raising right now? How much are you looking for?
Sure. $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
The details, ping me at frake@mingle.sport and we can talk.
Yeah. Exactly. That was perfect segue. I was just going to say that's a good way to kind of put a marker out of what you're looking to raise. And then if anybody's interested from any of our listeners or just generally from our network, please feel free to reach out. Frick, you've already shared your email address. Frick is spelled as F-R-E-E-K.
That's correct. Thank you. Yeah.
At mingle.sport, you said?
Yeah, mingle.sport.
Perfect. Yeah. Nice, tidy email. And or they can reach you on LinkedIn as well, I presume?
I have a weird name for if you're not from the Netherlands, but Freek Bijl, it's spelled like bile. It's an X in Dutch. Okay. Anyway.
We'll put the details in the show notes, in the description. So if anybody wants to reach out to you, they'll find your email and you on LinkedIn. Freek, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm glad you were part of our first edition of the Sports Tech X Startup Spotlight. It's exactly causes like this or solutions like this that we want to showcase, which are helping build the sports tech ecosystem. So I'm really glad that you took the time to be part of it. Before I let you go, I have one last question, which is my favorite question to ask always. I like to believe we're sports fans first. So I want to know what has been your favorite sporting moment.
Yes. Well, that can only be one. I'm from the Netherlands and I'm from the northern part of the Netherlands, which is called Friesland. We are good ice skating, good in ice skating. When there was real ice, this was most happening in the last century because of climate change. It's happened less and less. But there's a sporting event called It's called in Dutch the Elfstedentocht, and in English it translates as the 11th City Tour, which is a 200-kilometer ice skating riding event. And it only happens when all the lakes and canals in Friesland are frozen, which the last time it happened was 1997. Then you had in the 80s a few, and then before that it was 1963. So you can look it up for everybody who's interested, Wikipedia, and it's amazing because the whole country gets crazy. You have millions of people going there and wanted to watch it. And I can remember that I was 17 the last time it happened. I lived in the capital of Friesland. I have never seen such an event that was so special. Like every 30 years, every 20 years it happened. So yeah, ice skating, Friesland, Elfstedentocht.
Incredible. And this is why I love asking that question, because you get such incredible answers. I had no idea this sport existed. Nope. I will look that up for sure. 11th City Race, you said?
Yeah, 11th City Race. I can send you a Wikipedia link. So it's really interesting to look it up. It's 200 kilometers. It's really like it takes you a good day to skate that, even if you're good.
200 kilometers. If I had to even try that, I don't know how many times I'd be ended up on the floor in the first 2 kilometers, leave alone the first 200. But yes, please do share a link, or I'll look it up myself, and we will add that to the show notes, because that's another thing that somebody might be interested to learn more about. Frick, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
All right, guys, that's a wrap for the first episode of our All-Star series. We're going to have our usual run, about 40 episodes for the year. We'll take a break a couple of times in the year, but we wanted to kick off the season with some of the startups that we love talking about, because that's probably our favorite thing to do, to look at startups, look at new solutions, and to talk about them and shine our little spotlight on them. That's the result of our first edition of our Sports Tech X Startup Spotlight. More to come over the rest of the season. See you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Roan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.